Good morning, everyone. It's an honor again to bring the Word of God today. Truly grateful for being able to, again, preach this sermon series. It's a critical time for the church. It's a critical time for the local church, for the national church, as well as for our nation. As I repeat every week, and I hope it's inculcated into your mind that we are going through a time just like in the book of Judges, what the Hebrew peoples went through, where we are not prepared to reign, we're not prepared to rule as a society, as a group. So we can't just blame the elites, we can't just blame the middle class, the lower class, the upper class. We all have this collective departure from God's word and from his law, what intellectuals like to call sometimes natural law. We know it's God's law. Fundamental things that you need to do and to observe to be able to function in a society, to have a civilization. Now, we know this has happened before, where we've had civilizational collapses. And one thing we know from the Bible and from history, if you want to look at Alexander the Great or the Greek Empire, and then eventually the Roman Empire and the latter Roman Empire, even in other cultures, the Han Dynasty, these things, they break up when they get away from God's law and his word. Even if you're not consciously a Christian, we know that you're still guilty and still need a savior because you're still made in the image of God. Ignorance, claiming ignorance of God and his law, does not let you off the hook. You're still a sinner who needs redemption. And all men are responsible for God's law because God gave it to Adam in the beginning, before there was anything called Judaism or Christianity. It was given to men. They were told how to exert dominion, how to treat their environment, how to treat their fellow man. So we have this law in all of us, and we break it because of our sin nature. But our hearts know what's right and what's wrong when it comes to God's law. It's part of us. It's part of our being. Now, how disgusting is it when God's people actually teach unbelievers who don't have God's word to break the law? And that's why God judged Israel, and that's why God is judging the visible church, the major denominations we see today. They have replaced righteousness for evil, and that which is evil they now call righteous. And this happens in societies, civilizations that are reaching their peak. They start to break down. Now, what do we do, right? Regular Joe and Jill Christian, what are we supposed to do? Well, we stand with God against all these antichrists, and we stand firm in him. And we find people of a like mind who are not perfect, but in the spirit, they want to persevere during these times in Christ, be in him. And we want to be there to rise up from the ashes and form a new civilization based on God's law and his principles and the gospel. Not everyone has to be a Bible-thumping, born-again believer to be able to function in a society and to know what right and wrong is. They might not receive redemption, of course, because that's exclusive to Christians, but to be able to have a civilization where the gospel's preached and you can function as a group, you need to observe what men call natural law, what we know as revealed law from God. So that's the point we're at. So in the book of Judges, we're up to a point now where we have a true illegitimate ruler, Abimelech or Abimelech. And we see that he is an antichrist. He has the spirit of antichrist. He went and plotted against his other brethren, the sons of Gideon, and murdered them for power. This is a theme that repeats itself throughout history. It shouldn't, but it does. And what we're trying to show in these two to three parts on this antichrist part of the book of Judges, where Abimelech is stuck right in the middle. He's not recognized as a true judge, and he's not recognized as one of the early kings of Israel because the position he takes is illegitimate. He is a son of the devil, and whether you call yourself a Christian, if you have that label, or you don't, people that are wicked have these traits. And we've been trying to warn, showing it through Scripture, that even if you think you're on the good side of the Antichrist, eventually you'll be on his bad side. And this is what happens in life. So we're taking these life lessons and these lessons that we could apply in our personal life and our family and learn them. They're hard lessons to learn. So even if it gives you an advantage to serve Satan or one of his servants, and you watch him destroy other people, eventually it will be your turn. It might take some time, but it will be your turn. And we see this in our society today. We see this in all these movements to get President Biden in. And I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I really don't care. I'm a Christian constitutionalist. And we don't worship men. We worship God. And we want to follow a piece of paper with written and exact rules. We don't want to rely on the judgments of men. But the point being is they brought this latest president into office. A lot of groups started trouble to help push the election in his favor. And now it's happening. They're killing each other. So Antifa is fighting Black Lives Matter. And then inside Black Lives Matter, there are certain of that group fighting against the vaccines now. And it's going to get very interesting. This is what we call intersectionality. So you might have the LGBTQ agenda, but they all eventually push for their own interests and fight each other. So the homosexual, the sodomite, white males that were all for the gay agenda are now finding themselves persecuted by their own group for their skin color because they're white. And then you have the lesbian females who are now being attacked by the quote transgender, the magical females who say they're female all of a sudden. And so these groups destroy each other. And this is what communism does. This is what the children of the French Revolution do. They constantly revolt and pick fights until there's nothing left. And then you have to get a more group that's based on natural law to build things up again. So unfortunately, this is a cycle we go through. We do not panic. We keep our faith in Christ. We read his word. When we get our chance, and every interaction we have, we give witness to the power of God. No matter how bad it looks, our God will do something new. He's completely in control. God uses rebellion and evil to judge wickedness. This is nothing new. We don't need to be afraid. We need to be productive, and we need to take steps to link with other Christians and other like-minded people. So let's pray and then get into today's message, which is a continuation of last week, talking about this Antichrist spirit and how Antichrists always betray their own. They destroy their own. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would cleanse my tongue, Lord, and keep it pure as possible, and that today's word would focus on you and your glory and your power. We pray, Lord, that Fellowship Baptist Church, we would always bring the word of God faithfully. We thank you, Lord, for the 41 years of ministry in Coney Island, New York City, smack dab in the middle of the evil empire, Lord. We thank you for the way that you have preserved us, the way you have preserved our church. We're so grateful, Lord, that a faithful word is spoken at our church, and we pray that we will continue to be a witness for you. We know, Lord, it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with you. It has to do with your spirit, the true spirit, the spirit of life and liberty. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Ghost has helped Fellowship Baptist Church to be faithful for so long. And we pray, Lord, that we would continue to walk in your word and to teach others to do likewise. We thank you for the blessings upon our congregation, the many miracles and beautiful things that we have witnessed through 41 years of ministry. We pray, Lord, that if it be your will, we'd have another 41 years of a faithful witness and preaching point and evangelization point in New York City. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us today. We ask that you would be glorified, you and you alone. And we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, 41 years of ministry in New York City, as far as Fellowship Baptist Church is concerned. And it just goes to show that even with the headquarters of Antichrist, the United Nations, only a half-hour drive from here without traffic, 3 hours with traffic, you can persevere. God will give you that cleft in the rock, that little nook in him, in the mountain, to hide in. And we're truly grateful for that. With all the challenges that have gone on in this nation, we can still preach the word of God. We could still warn people. You know, the door on the ark is closing. You got to get on board now because more judgment is going to unfurl upon this nation and especially upon Christian apostates. So if you haven't been serious about Christ, if you've been backsliding, if you've been neglecting trying to reach out and make relationships with his people, do it now, because we are headed for serious trouble. Nothing we need to be afraid of, but things we need to avoid to the best of our ability. And you need to do it now. So time is of the essence. So continuing in our sermon series today, Antichrist Betray Their Own. We're going to continue the narrative of Abimelech or Abimelech. And remember, Melech means literally king. It's Malcolm in the English tongue, also means king. So we're going to read this narrative. We're continuing in the book of Judges, chapter 9. And we're going to go verse by verse. And we're going to see that Abimelech, the one who conspired, is now going to be conspired against. And this is what rebellious people do, and this is why you stay away from them, because in their lust for power, like Satan himself, they always tear down what they've built. Now, the children of God, we can enjoy the fruits of some of these things, their inventions and advances in medicine and healthcare and food production, and all that is fine. But we keep ourselves as clean as we can, and we eventually enjoy the fruit of the world's labor. Without being part of the world, we're still in the world. So it doesn't mean we can't use, as we're using today, some of these technologies, but we use it according to God's law. We saw this with the printing press during the Reformation. People are shocked when I teach about how the first thing of Gutenberg's printing press, what it was used for to make money, was to print pornographic novels and pictures. And then eventually the Word of God was distributed on it. Well, same thing with the internet. We use the internet connection, we use cameras, we use technology, but it's to bear good fruit, not to sow bad fruit. And we're going to see today that you reap what you sow. So we don't need to be scared to function in this world. We need to be scared of God and to function within his word and the limits that he set. But to do good using these technologies, there is no harm in that. But again, do good. Don't do evil. That's the key. So we're going to see that Abimelech, who used men to betray God and to betray his people, is now being betrayed. So the first point, as we're going to read and see, God himself now allows the Antichrist spirit to run its course in the life of Abimelech, the God of the Old Covenant and New Testament are the same. Now, I did that on purpose. Covenant and Testament are synonymous. So when we say Old Testament in the Bible, New Testament, we could also say Old Covenant, New Covenant. As Jesus said, this is the New Covenant when he was preparing the Last Supper. before he was to be crucified. He said, this is the new covenant. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we speak about that, a new covenant. But the old and the new, it's the same God. God's character doesn't change. We're going to see that. So you will reap what you have sown in your life. This has always been the way life has worked. If you live an evil life without repentance, we all sin, we're all evil at times. But if you live an evil life without repentance, your deeds will catch up with you, even if it takes a while. So we're going to read this in the first couple of verses. We see that when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come. Remember, that's the other name for Gideon. And their blood be laid upon Abimelech their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided them in the killing of his brethren. And the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him in the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. So Abimelech betrayed the memory of his father Gideon, killed his 70 brothers. The only one he couldn't catch was the youngest, if you remember, and that's who gave a prophecy against him in the spirit. And now Abimelech, the traitor, is being betrayed, because this is what mafia groups, this is what illegitimate governments do. Just look at politics today. They're supposed to be working together. When they get the chance, they will stab one another in the back. They will betray one another. And eventually in a civilization, there are so many of these parasites like we see today, whether it's in banking or the government sector and corporations, the private sector, that they just wind up bringing the whole thing down. They just steal and lie and betray one another too much. So there is no monolithic conspiracy that doesn't eventually break down. And this is what's happening. So Abimelech was a traitor. Now he's being betrayed. And it's a very interesting point. I want you to get this in the next group of verses. But one thing we want to do is remember that even if judgment doesn't come right away, it does come. And Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 is very specific in pronouncing this. We're told, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So people make this mistake where they say, well, I'm acting pretty badly. My friends, my acquaintances, they're pretty evil. I don't see lightning falling from the sky and striking them down dead right away. God isn't killing these people. Judgment isn't coming that quickly. Don't deceive yourself. Judgment will eventually come. Don't be fooled. So because it's not right away, doesn't mean it's not going to come. God gives people room to repent. And God also orchestrates all these events, which is way too complicated for us to see. So because you did something evil last week and you're still alive this week, wait. If you don't repent, it's coming. It might be 30 years down the road and you're looking at your family destroyed or your life destroyed because you never repented. But trust me, it's coming. And for everyone who lives in the Antichrist spirit, the day of your judgment is already set, so repent now. Repent now. As much as a mess as it might cause in your life by repenting now and the pain you go through now, it's still better to change now than to have to undo 5, 10, 20 more years of evil. Trust me on this. Trust God on this. Trust the Word of God. So if you've been one of those running along with evil, thinking that day of judgment isn't going to come, it's going to come. This is the mistake Abimelech makes, and this is the mistake that the sons of Shechem made, Abimelech's half-brothers through his mother's line. Now watch what they do. This is how ruthless they are. I want you to get this. I'm going to read the text, and I'm going to explain it. You have to see how this works, how fickle people are. Now if you remember, Abimelech, his father was Gideon, But through the curse of polygamy, his mother was one of the Shechemites. Okay? Remember that as I read this narrative. I'm going to explain this to you. Why people that are into division continue to abide, to divide. Now watch this. And Gaal, the son of Abed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and made merry and went into the house of their God and did eat and drink, God with the little g, and cursed Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zabel his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech." And he said to Abimelech, "Increase thine army and come out." So we see that Abimelech is being betrayed, and we not only have the division of Abimelech's father, who is Gideon, and a different bloodline through his mother was part of Shechem. Now this guy, Gaal, he learned the lesson well. He's going to say, no, we shouldn't follow the line of Shechem, but the father of Shechem. That's the pure line. That's the group. This is why multicultural societies without Christ do not work. Empires always fall. Ethnic groups and ethnic differences, even within people of the same skin color or same basic ethnic background, these things will always come to the surface, okay? It doesn't matter if your skin is light, right? Ask the French and the English if they've had some fights before. It doesn't matter if your skin is dark. Look at these constant genocides we have on the African continent. It doesn't matter if you're all, quote, Asian, right? Ask China and Japan if they've always gotten along in their history. So these things happen. Without the word of God, all you have left is your ethnicity. When all things are stripped away and you are not going to get along, all these multicultural empires fail. And even when people are somewhat closely related. So you really have to get this, how wicked and deceptive Antichrist is in sowing division, like we see today in our country, the division between men and women, between people of different sexual preferences. Everything's exploited, different economic classes, right? So now, this is what I'm explaining in point number two. If you look at it, the kingdom of Antichrist is built on division and will always crumble. The Shechemites stressed their blood relation to Abimelech's mother to commit evil. So remember, the men of Shechem said, "Abimelech is our half-brother. The other sons of Gideon are from different mothers, but Abimelech is from his mother's line, is our line, so we should follow him." So they used that to kill the sons of Gideon, to cause revolution. Now, when it's convenient for them, now they stress how they are not related to Abimelech's father to commit more evil. So first they stress their relationship to Abimelech, and now they're stressing the point that, well, Abimelech, he's still a son of Gideon. So we have a right to rebel against him. And it's amazing. So Gaal is creating division just as God has planned. And then I stress, stay away from the fickle children of rebellion. You can never make them happy. It's not going to happen. Look at the streets now. The same Antifa and the Black Lives Matter groups and the LGBT groups that were all in for President Biden, they are now becoming his biggest headache. I mean, they are protesting, and they're seeing that they've been betrayed. So the Black Lives Matter groups that cared so much about black people, they went along with the vaccine mandates that tomorrow, if people were not allowed to shop in a supermarket because they were unvaccinated, those who would suffer the most would be minority peoples, especially black Americans. So you see, these groups constantly stab each other in the back. And this is why we don't get caught up in this. And all our foolish white woke friends who ran to cause trouble, you're also being betrayed. Look at the job situation. Look at the supply line crunch. I mean, none of this stuff works out. So what do? Follow God. Don't worry about ethnicity and skin color. follow principles, God's principles, and you'll meet your group. And you'll do good in an evil generation. So that's the main point. So they will stress whatever they need to cause division. Now the Apostle Paul had something to say about Jesus' lesson when it came to reaping what you sow. And when we turn to Galatians chapter 6, we read verses 7 through 9. We see Paul, faithful apostle, speaking about how the way you behave and act, what you plant in the ground is eventually what you will eat. That's what you will sow. So if you plant poisonous crops or herbs, that's what you're going to be stuck with. If you plant things that are fruitful and edifying, that's what you're going to eat. So just like planting something, you do that in your life. We want to plant good works. We want to plant things that will help us disperse fruits of righteousness, fruits of the Spirit. That's what Christians are to be focused on. So Paul says, he uses the exact words, for all of you following Antichrist, sometimes without even realizing it, okay? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Praise God. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So those of us, we're trying to be a ministry of reconciliation. We're just trying to point out the evil to all these groups that are fighting one another, whatever you call yourself. I mean, the problem we have today, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, conservative, liberal, whatever, you know, moderate, whatever, we have a perverted society. All these groups condone pornography. All these groups condone sex outside of marriage. All of these groups condone usury, a dirty banking system. They're all selfish. They're all sold out for themselves. So what can a Christian do? Lovingly point these things out, group with other people that want to observe God's word and his law, and spread fruits of the Spirit, fruits of righteousness. And we have to look for that cleft in the rock as this all crumbles. That's what we have to do. But don't be deceived. Keep reminding people, when your 401k turns into a 101k, as this economy and job situation and social situation continues to disintegrate, God will not be mocked. Bad things are going to happen from God's hands. From God's hands, he will bring it all down. It's like with the school system. For 100 years, people still think they can redeem the public school system. The number one question for your pastor today shouldn't be, what seminary did you go to? If he has a family and you want to know how he's leading his family, ask him, do your children attend public school? If your pastor's children attend public school, find a new pastor. He's already sacrificed his children to the system, and there's no way he could be faithful in handling a congregation. You look at what's going on in the school system today. I was reminded the other day what I said about Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham had this whole disgusting program, Dare to be a Daniel, where you send children, outnumbered Christian children, into the school system to be a witness. Franklin Graham, a grown man, would be beat up in any public middle school in the inner city. He wouldn't be able to give witness and to function. He would run from his life, from 12 and 13-year-olds. So don't be stupid. God doesn't ask us to send our children into the synagogue of Satan to give witness. If you want to do it as an adult, you do it. But don't put your children in that situation. We're supposed to protect them. You have children, parents applauding because their children are brave enough to go into disgusting public school without wearing a mask. Like, that's a great accomplishment. They're destroying your kids. You're waking up and your kids are perverted and filthy little communists because you gave them in, you gave them to these, to this government school system. Find a private school, a private Christian school, give other Christians your money, If you need to homeschool, homeschool, find a co-op, whatever you need to do. It doesn't need to be homeschooling. You can have a private school. That's the way this nation was built, on private Christian schools that had character. The greatest period in this nation's history, public school never existed. Public school was invented by godless Unitarians, apostate Christians, to destroy Christianity. And Christians still send their kids to these schools. So don't be deceived. What you plant with your children, you're going to reap. So stay away from Antichrist and stay away from his schools. And the last point that we're going to make. We see the circle of betrayal. These next verses I'm going to read. Gaal betrays Abimelech, and Zabel betrays Gaal in a circle of treachery. This is what the elites do when they're wicked. They all get assassinated. They all accidentally, they commit suicide, shooting themselves 2 to 3 times in the back of the head. This is the life of the elite Antichrist mafiosa. This is what they do. Of all groups, Jewish mafia, Anglo mafia, it's not just Italian mafia like you see in movies. Actually, they're quite weak right now. The more powerful mafia right now is the city of London, our Anglo friends, and our Jewish friends in Israel. Those are the real movers and shakers right now in the banking system. So everyone has a mafia circle, an Antichrist circle. This is what goes on, but they all betray one another. Look at what's happened. They all betray their people. Look at Israel. Brought out, told, Jewish people are told, think about this. Jewish people are told they have to live in the Middle East in the desert to live successfully. Why can't Jews live in any nation? Look at the message Israel's given to its people. Well, Christian Zionists are telling these people. So they're on their third or fourth vaccination dose. They're getting sick over there. The situation is not good. Israel's becoming a prison state, a police state, and no one speaks up for these people. So I'm an anti-Semite because I think Jews should be able to live in any country they want. They don't need to be stuck in the desert because of their ethnicity in Israel. But let me not digress. But the point is, Antichrist systems betray their own. Look at Australia. It's a prison colony again. And those movements are coming to America. They're coming to America. They're already here. They're tightening their grip. God's people need to pray. We need to wake people up. We need to show that following Antichrist never works. So here we have this circle of betrayal. Gaal versus Abimelech. Abimelech versus Zabel. So Abimelech will heed Zabel's warning and surround Shechem with his army. Rebellious movements against God and his law always end in death and destruction. And this is how we will end our sermon. And when Zabel, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Abed, his anger was kindled, and he sent messages unto Abimelech, privily saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Abed, and his brethren be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. Now therefore up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and set upon the city, and behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as thou shalt find occasion. This is it. This is what's happening. We see Abimelech was used by the Shechemites, and he used them to destroy Gideon's line. And now Abimelech, their champion, is going to destroy them for their betrayal. And it never ends. Let us not have an Antichrist spirit. Let us be fair with all people. Let's wish the best for people. Let's not make up fairy tales, but follow the Bible and God's word and God's law. And let's pray for our people that God does provide us the cleft and the rock. And let's continue to organize as the door on the ark continues to close. Be in Christ now and reach out in any way you can and be with his people now. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can call on the Father's name We thank you, Lord, that we can meet as your people every week. We repent, Lord, for our sins of the week in thought, word, and deed. We pray, Lord, you continue to commune with us. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, Lord. We want to live in the liberty of the Holy Spirit and your commands. We pray that you protect us, that you give us a spirit of courage. We want to thank you, Lord, for the way you've had your hand upon all of us in the congregation and in our friends of the ministry this week. And we ask, Lord, you protect us until we meet again as your family. We always thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I bid all of you go in peace and God bless.